Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Anthony Del Valle, the theater critic for the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Carol Kling would really
I don't want to say anything. But former film critic for Las Vegas City Life and the Las Vegas Mercury. So thank you for being here.
Thanks.
And so let's start this week with Monsters vs. Aliens, the DreamWorks animated 3D film about. I mean, it's pretty much one of those movies where the title is the plot. I would say there's monsters and there's aliens. It's not too complicated. There's an alien invasion and these monsters, they're sort of, I guess, modeled after 50s B-movie style monsters. There's a 50-foot or so woman. There's a creature from the Black Lagoon kind of guy and a cockroach scientist who's sort of like the fly a little, and a giant Insectosaurus, they call him, which is sort of like Mothra in a way, I think. But they're all nice and cuddly, friendly monsters, really. But they're enlisted by the government to help repel this alien invasion, and they fight off the aliens. And the main character is the giant woman, Susan, played by Reese Witherspoon, who has to learn a little bit about believing in herself, and she ends up dumping her fiancé, who's a bit of a jerk. And
we should probably point out it's the voice of Reese.
Right, right. She's not actually gigantic. Yes, it's an animated film, and there's a lot of celebrity voices. Seth Rogen and Hugh Laurie, some other famous people, and Rainn Wilson from The Office, and Will Arnett. Lots of celebrity voices, but I thought this movie was fun. I didn't think it was a great movie, and I think when it comes to animated kids-type movies that Pixar generally does a better job, stuff like WALL-E and Finding Nemo and so on and so forth, those have more depth to them. But I thought this movie was entertaining. I think if you have kids and you end up taking your kids to this movie, they'll probably have a good time, and you, adults wouldn't be bored or annoyed by this movie, I thought. The 3D was well done. It doesn't distract too much, I think, from the story, which there's a tendency, I think, for 3D movies to just put a bunch of gimmickry in there, and I didn't think they did that. So I liked it. I would recommend it.
Josh, you are so wrong.
I'm so wrong. So you did not like this movie at all.
You know what gets me is that when a film tries to be something really special.
Right.
And it fails.
Yeah.
We rip it to shreds.
Uh-huh.
When the film tries to be nothing but mindless fun, we're more likely to give it a pass. What got me about this movie was you mentioned some movies that it was like. It was also a little borrowed from E.T., from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It borrows from a lot of other movies,
I didn't see – I almost have nothing to say about it in that I didn't see anything clever about it. The creatures weren't particularly well invented. The plot was extremely ordinary. I wondered about some of the plot turns regarding whether or not I would want my kids to see some of the things that went on.
Were there disturbing or improper things for children in this movie?
Well, no. I mean, I don't want to go that far. I'm just saying for me, I would be concerned about them.
Really? What would concern you? I don't think it would really gives away any serious plot twists in this movie. There really aren't many I can think of.
You know what? My mind just went blank. Oh, okay. I remember taking a couple of notes, but no, I didn't like. There's a relationship with a newscaster that I didn't appreciate.
Oh, the giant woman and her fiance is this sort of jerk.
Yeah, and the newscaster was every vain.
He was a bit
cliche,
of a stereotype, yes.
Does
it offend you as a journalist?
No. I didn't, because we all know TV journalists are like that.
Oh,
but I mean, as a print journalist,
yes,
it certainly offended
me. Fine.
No, I just thought it was very ordinary. You know, it's like the other film I saw, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah. Sunshine Cleaning.
Thank you. You know, it went wrong. But there were so many moments I loved that I would rather sit through 100 Sunshine movies than sit through this. Because nothing that it was terrible. It was just a very ordinary, uninventive, condescending, patronizing movie that's just fine. If you got the kids for the weekend, you got to think of somewhere to go.
Right.
And I'll also say I remember seeing the first 3D movie back in 1961. I was 9 years old or something. And it was 13 Ghosts. And I can't recall if I've seen one since. Maybe I have, but – And I'm amazed at how great these special effects are.
They do. They look very impressive, yeah.
But a simple thing like a guy playing paddleball.
Well, that was a little silly.
But, I mean, still, the ball comes at you in your face. It's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
So there's fun to be had. I didn't sit there bored to death. I just thought how unimaginative all of this is.
Yeah, I mean.
And you give it a pass.
I do give it a pass. And I don't think you're wrong in most of what you're saying. I don't think it was condescending or patronizing. In fact, I think that was one of the good things about it is that especially these DreamWorks movies, a lot of them are really crass. There's stuff like Shark Tale or the later Shrek movies. They're just really loud and they are condescending and they're full of these meaningless pop culture references that are just like riffing on things that have no value to them as jokes or anything like that. And I didn't think this movie was like that. You're right that it's not especially imaginative. I mean, all the monsters are derivative of other monsters. I thought that was, I guess I looked at that as a nice homage rather than like a lack of creativity.
No, I can understand that, yeah.
And no, it's not super original and the plot is a little a bit of a mess. It's not, you're not wondering on the edge of your seat what's going to happen. They're going to repel the alien invasion and, you know, they'll save the day and everything, and that's a given. But that's okay.
You know, I think it's okay that we know the plot.
Right.
I just think in a situation like that, the monsters could at least be inventive. And like for me, E.T., I mean, I was on the edge of my seat all through E.T., even though I figured out how it was going to end.
Right, right. Well, I wouldn't say this is as good as E.T.
No, certainly, I'm sure you're not.
Certainly I would not. But I still did think it was fun. I mean, I'm not going to give it like a high grade. I wouldn't be like, oh, you got to rush out and see. It's not one of those movies I think – there are certain some animated movies where it's like, hey, even if you don't have kids or you don't, you know, love cartoons – go see this movie anyway, something like Coraline, which is playing now, which I think is a good movie for anyone. This movie, probably more just if your kids are taking you, they really want to see it, you probably would enjoy it, I think. Or at least that was my feeling. Sitting through it, I didn't feel annoyed at it. And it's really easy, I think, to get really irritated with some of these kids' movies because they're so simplistic. But I thought this had the right balance of it's simple enough that kids will understand it, they'll be excited, they'll be involved in it. But at the same time, it had enough fun little touches. I did think bits of it were clever. And I don't know what the problem with the newscaster character. I mean, it's really just he's a vehicle for self-discovery for the giant woman. And that was okay with me.
It teaches women not to trust men.
I don't think it teaches. I think that's not what it's teaching. I think it's teaching women not to tie up their entire identity in the relationship they might have with a man. I think not that kids are really thinking on that complex level, but the idea is that the character has subsumed her identity in this guy that she's going to marry who's this sort of ambitious jerk.
And how does she resolve it in the end? I mean, you don't have to be specific, but she commits an act of violence.
Yeah, but it's a very – it's a cartoonish act of violence. It's not really hurtful. I don't think this movie is teaching violence towards domestic violence or anything like that.
But did you notice she gave a lot of speeches about women empowerment?
So, do you have something against
women's empowerment? No, I'm saying, but don't you think this movie wants on some level to be taken seriously?
I think on some small level, and that's a level I think where it's not all that interesting. I didn't care. I mean, I think the message is fine. I'm happy with the message of female empowerment or a message of don't tie up all of your identity in your relationship and be your own person and things like that. I'm absolutely fine with that message. I don't think it necessarily needed to be pushed so hard because it's a movie about silly monsters fighting silly aliens, and that's what's fun about it.
You know, could I – then I'll be quiet after this.
No, don't be
quiet. I want to point to one moment that I thought was a gem, and I wish they had more moments like this because I want to argue with you that I'm not criticizing it for being simplistic.
Okay.
You know, some of my favorite movies are, you know, simplistic nonsense. But I hope I'm not giving much away, but I want to give away one joke, which I think is okay. They're trying to figure out a way – there's these – four monsters who are good monsters. They're trying to figure out a way to get out of this evil spaceship.
Right.
And they can't figure out what to do.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, one of the evil guards says to one of the monsters, "You there, you're obviously not one of us." And he turns to the other monsters and says, "Take him away."
Right.
And they look at each other and they said, "What do you mean?" And they look, the other guard looks at them and says, "Well, aren't you guards?" And they think, and they go, "Yes." And he says, "Well, take him away. Here, do you need a gun?"
Right.
And he said, "Yes." So they give him. He gives him a gun, And one of the monsters looks at the gun, looks at the guard, and shoots him.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
It was,
and
yeah.
very simple. Right. And I wish there was more moments like really? That instead I of all the routine stuff, you know.
I thought there were enough funny moments. That was a very funny moment. And it's a moment where the characters, they're kind of dim-witted at times, and yet they save the day anyway. And that's kind of amusing. And I thought there were enough moments that were amusing like that. I wasn't falling out of my seat laughing or anything. But there were enough amusing moments. It was short. It was fast-paced enough.
That's pretty bad when that's the best thing you can say about a movie.
I think that's a positive thing because a movie like
it's
this...
short.
Yeah, because it doesn't waste too much time.
Then there must be a lot of brilliant movies out there. You know, as long as you're 75 minutes, you're cool.
Well, no, but I think that is one element that is positive. That a movie like this, you got to know how long your movie should be.
No, that's true. That's
you
true.
Know, some movies should be short and some movies should be long. And I think this movie was... Let's not say that the positive thing was that it was short. The positive thing was it was exactly the right length for the story that they wanted to tell. And I liked it. So there you go. I would give I don't know what else to say. I give it 3 stars out of 5, which is just above average. Just above average. But you do not agree with me.
I would give it about a 2 or 1.5.
1.5, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
With some extra points for the fact that it's 3D. You know, the 3D is a lot
right,
of fun.
Right. And I think if you can, you know, go see it in 3D. Don't it would be okay in 2D, I think, unlike some recent 3D movies where they're pointless in 2D. I think you could probably still enjoy it. But if you can see it in 3D, definitely check it out in 3D. Okay, so let's move on. That was far more
I didn't know we were going to
far more depth
spend this
on the Monsters versus Aliens than I had expected. So also opening this week, and we're going to get to something actually opening next week that there was a scheduling issue. But anyway, also opening this week, a movie which you didn't see but which I saw is The Haunting in Connecticut. And this is a movie that is very simplistic, I think, not in a good way. It's every haunted house movie here. The family moves into the creepy old house, and it's haunted. And there's your movie right there. That's pretty much all you've got. And it's short, and it's to the point, but it's pointless. This is a movie I think is based on a true story, allegedly, and there actually have been at least one other movie, I think, made based on this same story about this family that moves into the house, and the teenage son has cancer. They move into the house to be closer to where he's getting his treatments, which I thought was an element that could have added a certain level of depth to this, and they try a little bit to connect the idea of terminal illness with the idea of being close to the other side and close to death and something like that, and I think this is a movie that it didn't spend enough time with the characters for you to know about their inner demons, to care about then what happens to them with the ghosts, which aren't all that scary. And 90% of the scares in this movie are just quiet, 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 sudden loud noise, which is really super cheap. But there's the father. He has an alcoholism problem, which is referred to like once or twice just so that he can get ragingly drunk one time and at a convenient moment to make things worse. So I've seen a lot of bad horror movies, and certainly this isn't the worst one, but I think it's a waste of time unless you are a hardcore horror junkie.
Yeah, that's a great critic's blurb. This isn't the worst horror film right. I've ever seen. Do you think sometimes that if we care too much about the characters that it can make it more difficult to enjoy the horror of a film?
Well, I think that's a good point. And in fact, a couple weeks ago on this very podcast, I was discussing The Last House on the Left with another guest who felt very uncomfortable during that movie because of, I think, the extreme – I mean, in that movie, it was more about the brutality. But I think it was he identified so much with what was going on that he felt like he just wanted to run out of the theater. And – to me, I didn't agree with him regarding that movie, but I think in general, if a horror movie can create that kind of feeling, that's a successful movie. Mm. Like, maybe you're not having fun per se, but that's a movie that like really reaches you. Just like a movie that's sad and makes you cry, that's a good movie. You may be sad while you're watching the movie, but that's a powerful experience. So I think a lot of my favorite horror movies are movies that do make me feel uncomfortable. And if they can make you feel genuinely in danger.
You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I just remember I once saw a film. I don't remember the title. This woman was a victim of child abuse and a very likable woman. And she had all kinds of issues. And then there was this moment where she goes into the dark and you know she's going to get stabbed to death. And to me, the character, I almost felt like I wish she was more one-dimensional so that I could enjoy the spookiness of it.
Right.
But I felt horrible knowing she was about to be killed.
Right,
you know?
Right. And
so I don't know.
I think those moments can be cheap if they're just playing on your emotions without any depth to it, without anything to say. But I think a movie that really, like, questions, it makes you think about, what am I afraid of? Why am I afraid? Something
because it's
like that.
Dark and there's a guy out there with a knife.
Well, right. But how does it feel to be – I don't know. I mean, I like horror movies a lot, and I didn't like this particular movie. But in general, I think a good horror movie can be really good and as good as a good movie in any other allegedly more serious genre. And so I do think it's possible for a movie that really involves you like that and really makes you care. There was a movie a couple years ago called Wolf Creek that spent a good 45 minutes at the beginning of the movie with nothing but character development. And then by the time you get to the – and it's nasty and violent. And by the time you get to that, you really feel sick that these characters are being tortured this way. And I thought that was really effective. And certainly it's a valid viewpoint. I think – and that movie in particular, a lot of people hated – and people just don't want to sit through something like that. And I understand. But I think a movie that can reach you on an emotional level, whatever kind of emotion it's creating, even if it's discomfort and fear, I think is a good movie. Mm. So anyway. once again, Afar, thank you for coming in and sparking such deep discussion about these completely meaningless movies.
What else are you going to do with them?
So let's talk about let's go back now to a movie that we did both see. Which was supposed to be opening this weekend, and unfortunately at the last minute it's been pushed to next week. So if you want to check it out, you're going to have to wait a week. But I would recommend not checking out this movie, which is Sunshine Cleaning. It's a sort of indie-ish dramedy that was – it was at Sundance in 2008, and it's been doing quite well in limited release. People seem to be responding to it, so – what do I know? It's because I did not like this movie. It has Amy Adams and Emily Blunt, who I think are both good actors and are good in this movie. They play a pair of sisters in Albuquerque. They're both kind of adrift in their lives. They don't really know where they're going with their careers. One of them, Amy Adams, she works as a house cleaner, and she has a young son who she's trying to put through school. And the Emily Blunt character, she just drifts from job to job. She lives with their father. And they hit on this idea. They form a crime scene cleanup business where they go to the aftermath of violent crimes and they clean up the blood and guts and so on and so forth. And this quirky little business, it reinvigorates their lives and it helps give them purpose. And this was a movie that I felt was full of cliches, but not in a fun way, in a very dull, kind of dour way. And although I like the two main actors, and I thought they brought something to the roles that they had more so than other people might have, I was just groaning at so many developments in this movie. There's the one moment, and then again, I think it doesn't really matter to give this away, but there's one moment where the Emily Blunt character walks into a house. She's about to clean up, and she's by herself. She's kind of distracted, and she lights a candle. And the second she lights that candle, you know the house will be burning down within 5 to 10 minutes. And sure enough, there goes the house burning down. And I think that just encapsulates the problems with this movie. But I know you liked it more than I did.
Well, it's no Monsters versus Aliens, but still. No, you know what? I mean, if I had to judge this overall movie, I wouldn't judge it very highly. But what I was struck by were the possibilities.
Right.
There were many moments of cliche, as you mentioned. And I would say the last half hour, this very interesting subject is turned into – it's hard to believe, but I think they were going for a feel-good movie.
Yeah,
you know?
I do think
so, and here
yeah.
you have this beautiful – I thought it was an interesting subject. I don't know anything about cleaning up crime scenes.
Right.
I enjoyed all the detail about it and how they try to make it work.
Yeah,
and how they have to adjust to it. And I enjoyed many moments of subtlety in the relationship between the two sisters. But – boy, if I could edit that film, I think, you know, I would chop about a half hour off it, take out all the obvious scenes.
Yeah.
And let's not forget Alan Arkin is in it.
Right. He plays the father of the two sisters.
Trouble is, and I find it hard to believe this is just a coincidence, he's playing the same character he played in Little Mary Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine, yeah.
Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah, Little Miss Sunshine. Right.
There's a Broadway musical called Little Mary Sunshine. Oh, okay. I get the two mixed up. But I'm amazed that he's playing such a similar character where he has a grandson and he pontificates.
Yes, yes.
And he won an Oscar for the earlier film.
He's not going to win an Oscar for this one.
But I mean, is he that hard up? I wonder why he's playing the same character.
I assume it's because someone saw him in that other movie and they thought, wow, he's really good at this and let's just get him to do the same thing. And I think I liked Little Miss Sunshine and I think that movie had a lot more liveliness to it. Definitely, it had a lot of melancholy and a lot of sadness to it. And it probably is a feel-good movie, too, in its own way. But I didn't think – this movie wraps up so neatly, and every bow tied so perfectly at the end, which I thought was very frustrating and very not true to life. It's the kind of movie that I think wants to seem naturalistic and real. It's got this very sort of subdued indie tone to it. But at the same time, it's just – it's as much cliches as Monsters versus Aliens.
Did you feel at all like you wanted it so badly to be in on the story conferences to help improve it? I mean, I just thought it could have been something.
It could have been something. That is true. That is true. And those the lead actors, I think they're both good. And Alan Arkin is entertaining. But the little kid who was sort of wise beyond his years, and he's got the CB radio that he thinks will help him talk to heaven. So you got these nice little symbolic moments where he's talking to his dead
grandmother. And you got these four very emotionally wounded people.
Right.
And they're all, you know, it's like terms of endearment in a way, you know, it's that kind of. But you know what got me? The final scene, without saying what it is a film clip that bonds or rebonds the two sisters.
Right, right.
And I wish right after the fire, if it had been done in a less cliche way, the two sisters are not speaking.
Right.
And I wish they could have jumped to that last scene after maybe months of not speaking to each other and not even wrapped it up. Just have them both watching that film clip.
Right.
Rather than there's these, just scene after scene of reconciliation.
Yeah, because that's not the final scene.
That's right. But it should have been,
It should have been
my argument.
The problem is that there's more where everything that's left unresolved is sort of brought back together so you can feel happy about how these people are going on with their lives, and they're better people than they were when we first saw them.
And think about all the I hate those uplifting movies. What? I'm not a good enough person to respond to them, I guess. But you think of all the loose plot strands, like the guy cheating on his wife. Everything is tied up in
that. Right. And the only things that were unresolved, I felt like there were two subplots in this movie, sort of romantic subplots for both of the characters. The one sister, she has a sort of flirtatious relationship with this one-armed guy who owns this janitorial supply store, and that never goes anywhere. And then the other sister has a weird homoerotic sort of relationship with this woman who's the daughter of someone who died that they clean up after. And they have a little fight, and then that woman, that character just completely disappears. And I thought both of those seemed like they had a little bit of potential. But then again, given where the other stuff went, maybe they would have totally botched those storylines as well, and they would have turned a cliche. But both of those, I felt like I kind of would have liked to see a little more of that and a little less of the CB radio talking to heaven.
You know, I hope I'm not giving away anything, but the one moment I especially liked was when, without going into too much detail, this woman is trying to track down the daughter of a mother who committed suicide.
Right.
She tracks her down. She has lunch with her. She thinks the woman's going to be pleased because she has in the envelope her pictures that she found on the site. And instead, the woman throws the pictures in her face and said, get out of here.
Right.
I thought that, you know, there was something about that. It wasn't resolved. The woman was flabbergasted. She thought she was going to be thanked, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, you don't know what's going on in people's lives, you know. And it wasn't explained.
Right.
It wasn't explained.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that those smaller elements. But overall, I don't think this movie works. And I think this is the kind of movie that people are overrating a bit because it seems, quote unquote, real and serious. But
well, don't you think it's commercial?
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Really, underneath it all, it's commercial. It's very commercial.
That's what surprised me because I thought, even with the cliches, I thought the first half hour or so, it was a very non-commercial movie.
Yeah.
Just the subject matter and all that stuff.
Right, but they treated
it it took a different direction.
Yeah,
I thought
they treat it in a sort of cuddly way. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. So I would say 2 stars for this.
With 3 for Aliens versus Monsters versus Aliens.
Yes. I think it's only... Yeah, it's definitely a whole star worse, but you don't agree with me.
No, you know what? I'd probably go with 2.5.
All right.
It's just that the first part of it impressed me so much. I just thought it was going in a totally different direction.
I wish it had.
Yeah.
So coming up on DVD quickly on this coming Tuesday, a couple things that I'd like to recommend. One of which is, I think, probably doesn't need my recommendation, Slumdog Millionaire, which won Best Picture and a whole ton of Oscars. And is still playing at a bunch of theaters, but they're throwing it out on DVD. So I think it's a little overrated. But talk about feel-good movies. It's definitely a feel-good movie. It's a little schematic and predictable, but it's really stylish. And I think for that kind of thing, for a feel-good, uplifting narrative, it does a pretty good job. So if you didn't see it, It's worth a rental. I'd say you might as well just rent it rather than see it in theaters, honestly. One I want to recommend a little higher, though, is Tell No One, which is a French thriller based on an American novel, actually. It's about a guy who believes his wife has been murdered, and 8 years later he discovers that she's still alive, and there's a big conspiracy. And it has the same plot as a lot of typical American thrillers, but it's done in a more... I think a more complex and a more subdued way and more focused on character than action, although there's some really good chase scenes. And I think if you like kind of thriller movies or like the Bourne movies or something like that, even if you are not crazy about subtitled films, I think it's worth taking a slight risk on this one and checking it out. It's called Tell No One, and that's on DVD on Tuesday. And I think that's going to do it. So take your kids to see Monsters vs. Aliens. Or don't.
Read them a book instead.
Read them a book. I can get behind that. Anthony Del Valle, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Josh.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including